became interested in the entire chapter. Someone said, I don't think you should preach just one verse in a sermon. I think you should preach a whole chapter in a sermon. And I don't agree with that. I've heard great sermons from just one word in one verse of the Bible. However, this did expand from two verses to the entire chapter. And, you know, we can take a verse or two, and there can be a certain subject we're going to look at within just a few verses. But as we look at the whole chapter, we're going to look at wisdom again, and we're going to consider the blessings from walking in wisdom. You know, we all want that. We all may hide our lack of wisdom sometimes. Kind of reminds me of the man who wanted to buy a yacht, and his wife was very nervous about it because he had no experience in sailing whatsoever. But he bought that yacht, and he went out practicing in the harbor, and day after day. And finally, he went back to his nervous wife, and he said, honey, I think I got it. I've been practicing in the harbor. I'm ready to go out to sea. Come on and go with me. And his nervous wife got in the yacht, and they started taking off, and he wanted to make her relax a little more. And he said, see, honey, I know where every rock is, every reef, and every sandbar. And he no more than got that out of his mouth, and you hear a screeching sound and a grumbling sound under the yacht. And his wife got nervous, and he looked with a little grin, and he said, see there, we just passed one right now. You know, we tend to want to do things in our own ability, but the Word of God would tell us to seek the direction of the Lord in our lives. I mean, that'll really slow down our life. That will really build up our prayer life. That will really build up our time in the Word of God if we are going to be seeking His direction for our lives. Seek His direction and not our own direction. We have our own direction. We're kind of comfortable with ourselves and what we can come up with. But we're to seek His direction. You know, maybe we can get some things done in our life. Maybe the right thing can get done in our lives. You know, but I don't think we need to shoot so low of having a goal of just getting something good done, but that we might get it done in the very best way, a way beyond our own understanding, a way beyond our own ability. And God has that way for us down the path of His will. The best way possible with the least burden and the most blessings to come out of it. That's a pretty good goal. And it's an achievable goal when we seek direction from the Lord for our lives and we do things His way. When we learn what God's way is and we do things His way, He promises blessings to His people. He promises to bless us. There are promises in this chapter of blessing. Four different ways we're going to look at those promises tonight. When we get knowledge and get wisdom, and we apply knowledge to our lives. I've said this definition so many times through the years. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to life. And we need the Lord to do that. But before getting into the promises that we're going to receive a blessing, a promise of blessing. Let's look at the requirements that must be met before receiving those blessings. And one of them we find in verses 1 through 4. All the requirements will be in the first 12 verses, but verses 1 through 4, if we want to get to that place, let us embrace the truth. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. To be able to do wisely, we must receive God's guidance. And so what we have to do for that is embrace the truth. Embrace the Word of God. May it be written on our hearts. We're so immersed in it and learning it and understanding it. You know, this book, we continually learn something new all of the time when we open it up for the rest of our lives. I had a good friend, and in about his mid-80s, I walked in his house, and he didn't say hello. He said, guess what? I learned something new in the Bible today. Had been a pastor for 40 years, had been a Christian for over 60 years, and that's what he was excited to say more than hello. I learned something new in God's Word today. There is new knowledge to gain every day of our lives from the Word of God. The will of God for our lives, it is found in the Word of God. The only way to have the knowledge of God's will is for you and I to dig it out of His Word. You know, when we really don't know what to do, we profess we're a Christian, we believe we know we're a Christian, and we just kind of really don't know what to do sometimes, or where we fit into things, or what we're going to specifically do for God. We find it in His Word. That's where we find the will of God. He makes it known when we get into His Word. Godly character comes to us from growth in the Word of God. You know, we can't find that on our own. It's an effect of the Word of God in our lives. And we know as a Christian, we're embarrassed when we don't have godly character as a Christian. And we want it. We know we need it. We find it in His Word. And it's not going to stick if we don't continually stick with the truth. Our character will change as our reducing of taking in the Word of God might change. Godly character and growth, it comes from the Word of God. There's a godly covering I would like to mention here. What does he say? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. We see, if you will, an outward adorning of godly character on our lives. Someone that's full of mercy and grace. I recently heard a testimony of from many people talking about this man that they first met some years ago. And the reason why they were part of the organization they were a part of was what God used and showed through this man's life when he would pray with someone. And as the testimonies would go, that's why they've been around that organization for 15 years or 20 years or things like that. There's an outward adorning that happens where a reflection of God's mercy and grace will just be shown through someone. And when we embrace the truth, that mercy and grace will be shown from our lives more and more. Embracing the truth, our heart must have it. Our heart must have the truth within. Bind them, the law of God, His commandments, His word. Bind them about thy neck. Write the word of God upon our hearts. Tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart, every word. Write the word of God upon our hearts. Own it and may it be personal. It's God's personal letter to us, to all of us, to all the world, but to me and to you individually. It's God's letter. It's God speaking to you and I when we read it. Embrace truth. Here's a little something else that'll add years to your life, the Word of God says. It can add years to your life. It's one of the requirements to be met that we're going to get to in a little while. Of the blessings from wisdom. Another requirement is experiencing obedience. Verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Obeying the Lord is going to have Him directing our paths. We must trust the Lord and His way, His mind, not ourselves and our way. And our mind. You know, several people have said, you know, I'm comfortable with me. I'm comfortable with me and my way of thinking and my way of doing things. There's our own way to do something. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. We've all been guilty of leaning on our own understanding. Trust the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. Why would we choose our own understanding? Why would that be more comfortable for someone than trusting the Lord with all thine heart? I kind of have a simple answer for that. We don't trust Him. If we're leaning unto our own understanding. Or how about this? In our own understanding, we see an outcome for something, and that's what we want. And maybe we're afraid God has a different outcome. And we're not trusting that. God is requiring our commitment to Him and our trust in Him. Romans 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He's demanding our commitment to Him, that trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How can we picture that? At camp this last summer, I don't remember if it was Corey or Ethan or Michael, but one of them stood behind a camper and wanted them to fall back and let them catch them. And if I remember correctly, there was someone who wouldn't do it. They wanted to brace their fall. They were saying, trust me. I think it was Ethan. And he was saying, trust me. And they wanted to brace their fall. They were nervous and they wouldn't do it. They went and sat down. Somebody else came up and they just went back. And they were caught. Can we use that as a picture of trust? There was a missionary in another country, the country he was a missionary in, and learning the language and, you know, of course, learning the spiritual language to be able to witness primarily first. And he's sitting on the front porch of his hut or wherever he lives, and he's figuring out words for salvation and things like that. And he had words for Jesus and dying on the cross and not good works, but believing in Him. But this word of believe and this word of trust, and how did he want to say that when he was going through this country, this city, and conveying the gospel in this language he was learning? And he came up with all the words he needed except for that believe or trust word. And what was he going to use? He was scratching his head. And he was getting to know people in the community. He was outside, and this boy had been playing with his friends. It's hot. And he comes running up on the porch, and he sits down beside the missionary. And whatever he said in that language that the missionary was learning, the little boy basically said, it feels so good to rest the weight of my entire tired body upon this chair. And whatever that key word was in there, as he was thinking about that in that moment, he said, that's it. That's the word. That's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all things, with everything. Well, what is that going to look like when we're doing it? Well, we're going to be doing what the Lord wants us to do. And most of the time, it's going to be a rejection of what we thought about doing. And it's going to be something pretty much opposite. When we lean not unto our own understanding and we trust in the Lord. The danger in doing what we want to do is missing God's will for our lives. And you know, a small matter, what we would call a small matter, we did our own thing instead of the Lord's thing, and maybe some things don't affect so much. But there are some things that if we do what we want to do, and not what the Lord wants, that could affect a lot of things for a long time. It could affect our lives in the will of God. I'm not saying we completely turn off our own conscience or our common sense in the everyday minutes of our life and our thinking, but we are cautioned against using the wisdom of this world. God says, I'll make foolish the wisdom of this world. Let's not live our lives and make our decisions with that, with what God says is foolish. But the wisdom of God, when we become wise in our own eyes, we're headed for trouble. Another requirement, we got to get to moving on. Another requirement to have the blessing from wisdom is to evidence our faith. Verses 9 and 10 say, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Everything belongs to God. The shepherd knew that his entire flock of sheep, all of them belong to God. And so he gave the best, the first and the best of his flock to God. The tiller of the ground, no matter how big the harvest was or how small it was, all of it belonged to God. And that's what God gave the farmer that season. And he gave the first tenth of his harvest to God. He didn't pay God. It all belonged to God. And he gave him the first part. If we trust the Lord, if we rest the weight of our lives completely upon him, then we're going to be faithful to the Lord with what we have. There's heart preparation for that. This is going to be an evidence of our faith. Of our faith in the Lord. Our faith is not in substance. It's not in what we have that God gave us. Our faith is in him. And we express it by what is his coming back to him off the top first. Another requirement for the blessing of wisdom, for these blessings, to experience correction. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The Lord corrects his children. He doesn't correct those who are not his children. Those who are the children of the Lord, they know the correction of the Lord. He doesn't correct those who are not, but he convicts and corrects those who are. And the reason why he does it is because he loves us. He loves his children, so he corrects his children. Whatever we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, the Lord makes us uncomfortable about it. Whatever we're not doing that we should be doing, it is such a weight on the children of God that we can't bear it. And we get to doing what we're supposed to be doing. That comes out of the loving correction of the Lord. The Lord disciplines us as a good parent disciplines their children. Let me say that a little different. The Lord disciplines us better than a good parent disciplines their children. Because I don't like to say this a lot. If there's kids with the parents, they'll take this and run with it. We correct our children according to what we think is right. And for Christian families, Christian parents, we're pretty good. But the Lord has perfect correction. And he corrects in such a way to where it could bring about the perfect results. That's why we correct our kids. We want good results. to come out of it, godly results to come out of it. We correct our kids because God tells us to. And then we want godly results to come out of it. How about perfect discipline from perfect love of our Father in heaven? Experience correction. Accept the correction. Why does the Lord correct us? Well, maybe we've rebelled and we need to repent. Why does the Lord correct us? Well, maybe proactive to keep us from rebelling. The chastening of the Lord, He does it in love. It's loving correction. But let me say this, it might hurt sometimes, but it is for our help. It is always for our help. It's always for good. Now, we need to get to receiving the blessings now. There are some requirements. Let us definitely go there first before we just want to get the blessings. Let us honor the blesser and listen to the requirements from the blesser as we just did. And then let's go to the blessings that come. And we can receive the blessings in verses 13 through 35. How? Four things we had there. Embracing the truth. Exercising obedience. Evidence our faith, and experience correction. Now, what are the blessings that wisdom brings? Well, riches we see in verses 13 through 18. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Listen to what God's saying about the value of wisdom over material things and money and substance. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. Wisdom. It's more valuable than all the money we could ever chase. All of the fine material things of this world. It's nice to have some things that cash can get us. But the much better things for our lives, cash can't get it. Maybe we've all been in a place where we've wanted a bigger house. My wife wanted one at one time, and I had a bunch of bricks in the backyard, and I told her I was saving them, and I was going to build another room on the house. That never happened. Bigger house won't make you happier. But how about a home? How about a peaceful home of unity? God gives that. Peace and harmony cannot come from material things. Living by the wisdom of God does. Living by the wisdom of God is a taste of heaven. God's wisdom brings the most valuable riches no amount of money can buy. The riches wisdom brings, the true riches, the best riches. The rightness wisdom brings. Verses 19 and 20, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. There are some verses in chapter 1 of Romans that talks about those who have been given over to a reprobate mind and do this and do that, and it talks about out in nature, everything seen in nature that makes anyone without excuse to know that there's a God. Kind of as if there's call it a threat there if you want. But when we as children of God look out at nature, nature's preaching a sermon. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And we're all good with nature. By God's wisdom, all of these things came into being. By the wisdom of God, He created what He did. And He's made us good stewards of the Lord's creation. We look up, and there's not that thing for someone who says they're an atheist, who God says they're without excuse when they see everything, and they get uncomfortable at that. We look up and we say, this is my Father's world. The rightness wisdom brings makes us right with nature. We're groaning for the second coming of Jesus, and the earth groans. How about the reach wisdom brings? Verses 21 through 26. My son, let not them depart from mine eyes, from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Are you ready for the sleeping pill? Listen to this. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. When I read that, I thought of how many of us have some sleeping issues sometimes, or maybe all the time. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The Lord can direct our paths so well because He has the path lined out way ahead of you and I. That provides protection for you and I. Don't get me wrong, there's hurts, there's problems we go through. The Lord allows those things. He might even send some of those things. But He's protecting. He's bringing good out of that. He's protecting us. Think about the providential care of God out before us, down the path of His will. The promise of protection. There's no promise of protection if we get outside His will and go off and lean on thy own understanding. Maybe the best thing He could do is let us experience the results of leaning on our own understanding. But there's protection down the path of His will. I know my family has heard this several times, but maybe some of you have only heard it once. And somebody, there's definitely a few that have never heard it. But I was listening to a preacher at a conference that, a kind of conference that you've probably been in, Kevin. And he was talking about the providence of God, His providential care out in front of us. And this man's testimony he gave to describe that, he was a pastor of a church in around Alabama or Georgia or something. And he didn't know a soul in Maine. But a church in Maine called him up and said, will you fill in for us this Sunday? We'll fly you up, pay for your flight and everything, take care of you. Who is this? What church are you with? He didn't know anything about it. And when he leaned onto his own understanding, he's thinking, no, I'm not going to Maine. Next thing you know, he's back on the phone and he said, go ahead and get me the flight. I'll come preach for you. Did that again the next week. Same jostling though, same struggle with not wanting to go, but he went. And then after that second time, they called him and said, we want you to come preach for us in view of a call now. And when he leaned on his own understanding, he said, I like the South, I hate the North, I love being right here, I don't want to, no. Okay, I will. He went. He became the pastor of that church. He and his wife were up there in Maine, and out of the wonderful southern hospitality states of that area, what a wonderful, beautiful-looking place to live. But he and his wife found themselves in Maine. She, She came down with a disease, a rare disease, and the very best treatment for that disease was 30 minutes from that church in Maine. In all the United States, the best treatment was right there. And I learned this big word, the providence of God, that connected with me right there. And so that's why I keep telling it. Maybe it helps someone else. Maybe it'll help someone else with their fears. When frightening things happen, you and I won't be afraid when we're in God's will and we're trusting the providence of God. Frightening things happen, and we don't have to be afraid. So the reach that wisdom brings, not that God has to reach out there. He's already out there. He knows the plan from the beginning to all throughout eternity. And he has this, no problem dropping the bucket for God. He has the path of his will for you and I. And his providential care is there. We need to go on for a minute because we need to finish this. Because we need this blessing that's promised for our relationships that come from wisdom. Verse 27 through 35. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause. Wow. If he have done thee no harm, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. This promise that comes from us meeting the requirements, walking in wisdom, we have these blessings. The promise of the blessings of interaction, relationship with others, we'll be able to live more peaceably with others. This is the promise of blessing here. And I tell you what, that's quite a blessing. Because sometimes we can find ourselves not living at peace with others, and there's a bothersome there, but we couldn't put our finger on what it even is. It's not worth anything. That happens sometimes. Don't get me wrong, there are very important times to take a stand for the truth or to take a stand in tough love or helping someone. This book, Proverbs, says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, I'm thankful for friends that have told me things, and initially, maybe it sounded critical. Initially, maybe it hurt, but I knew they loved me, and I knew what they were telling me was for my good, and I knew that they were more experienced and wiser than me. So there's a time for that, but, you know, somebody said, you got to pick and choose your battles. And somebody else said, yeah, okay, all of them. I pick all of them. Man, that'll keep us frustrated. Wisdom helps us avoid disagreements that shouldn't be had, that aren't going to do any good. Wisdom will keep us from being too nosy in something else that we don't need to be a part of. Wisdom will greatly reduce our debates and encounters, because if we listen to God in those times, He'd say, don't worry about that. You're not responsible for that. That's none of your business. Don't worry about that, my child. Get back to what you need to be doing. Wise Christians are able to love their neighbor and to give to them, whether they agree with them or not, whether they really like them or not. We're to love everybody. There's some people maybe we don't like. Can we express love? Can we give to them? It takes a lot of wisdom to get along with people today. My goodness, all of the fights I read about online, neighborhood stuff, people are just waiting to criticize another. Oh, you're wrong at that. Let me tell you what's right about it. Stupid. I can't even read it. I'll take a glance and see. Okay, that's nonsense, and I'll just delete it. Thankfully, I'm not going to say I haven't been foolish before and dabbled into something and made a statement. If somebody starts talking about something in the spiritual world, my radar goes off and I look, and I believe that I understand from the Bible the correct answer and how to correct them. And I jumped into a stranger's conversation one time and corrected them. And I was wondering if my head was still attached to my body, biting my head off for telling them the truth. Takes a lot of wisdom to get along with people today. And God has it. And He wants to give it to us. And He's lined out instructions, the requirements to get there, to not only, you know, we have knowledge and we can, and that becomes wisdom, that becomes applying it to our life. And then we get to experience the blessings of it. Four blessings there at the end, starting in, what was it, verse 13 on. The blessings from wisdom. Happy are you. How did this chapter end up? Not the very end. No, the beginning of this. The beginning of the blessings in verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. God wants to give it to us today, to be the salt of the earth, to be light to this world. We have a relationship with God the Son, Jesus Christ. We have the power of the person of the Holy Spirit who has taken up residence in us, living in us, helping us. And along the way, God says, hold on, there's some requirements here. You get wisdom. You embrace my word. May my word and my truths and godly character be inside you. Write my word on your heart. May it have an outward appearance to it. Embrace the word of God. And we have these other requirements. And then the blessings that come from wisdom. Let us become wiser. Let us experience more of these blessings that wisdom brings to you and I. And with that, we're going to close. And we went a few minutes long tonight. Those of you who have kids in children's ministry, you say no big deal. Others? I hope not. The Word of God is wonderful. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God tonight. I was waiting for another praise report because I mentioned a prayer request that someone's company might be having a layoff and they've been newly hired to their company. And McKenna. And the big bomb dropped today, but it wasn't on her. And not only does she still have her job, she might probably have a more favorable schedule because we like working remote today rather than going into the office. And I think there's a little more of that going on. I don't know. But anyway, praise the Lord for that. Seriously, praise God. And I gave that prayer request, and thank you all. Thank you all for praying. And I'm not going to tell you about the lack of faith we had when McKenna asked us to raise our hands if we believe this is going to happen tomorrow or that's going to happen tomorrow. She said that last night. Anyway, praise the Lord. Everything ended up good. I believe I see Santana back there with you. Yeah, Santana's with us tonight. So he's been a wonderful guest of ours many times. And so if you've never met him or haven't seen him in a while, make sure you see him on the way out. Rome Hickey. Would you close our Bible study in a word of prayer? Make sure you see Misty before you leave and encourage her. It's so good to see her be able to be in the house of God too with everyone else.